CJLO 1698 M. What you just heard there was some Ed Hockley off of their album Higherlander. That was a track called Only Time Will Tell If We Will Stand the Test of Time. Yep, that's the name of it. Ed Hockley, I don't know if I mentioned this at all during the end of the last hour or in the last hour. And I'm saying that because I know that I definitely did, and I'm just trying to hammer it home for comedic effect. They're playing at Turbo House on the 29th. So, you know, maybe you should go check that out. I'm just saying. And you got to hear part one of an interview I did with two of the members. And you know what? Let's just get to the second part of this interview, shall we? Yeah, that seems a good idea. It's long, so well, that's you're gonna have to deal with it. Anyway, that's the point of it. Yep, Great Explosive, CJLO 1690 AM.
Well, let's talk about Higherlander. It's out now, and people can listen to it with their ears. And I mean, I guess any other way they listen, but that's mainly how I do it. It's been 9 years in between this record and the last one. What's kind of the main, like, sticking point, I guess, between this one and the last one that made it such a long length of time?
So, it has been that long. So when, you know, we did Dream Warriors, we've been touring pretty much nonstop since we started in 2009. And when Dream Warriors came out, we just kept doing it. But then, long story short, come to like 2017, I think we went to Europe. And then Ben, our drummer, was still living in Baltimore. He's from Baltimore. And he joined the band War on Women, but like, has kind of a scab in a way, but he's from Baltimore. They're from Baltimore. And so he was touring with them a lot too, and touring with us. And I think he got burnt out. And, you know, at that point, it had been 2 years since Dream Warriors, and our songs are really long, and it does take a minute for us to like conceive a song. And especially because Ben was living in Baltimore, there like wasn't like a lot of time to start writing. So Ben took a sabbatical, and so he dipped. But Dave Barney was actually living in Nashville at the time, but he was about to move back to Pittsburgh. And when Ben told me, he's like, you know, he's got to take a step back, take a break, I called Dave and I was like, hey, Ben is dipping out, do you want to join at Hockley? Because we've known Dave forever. I personally worked with Dave at this pizza restaurant that we've been working at forever, called Spack Brothers in Pittsburgh. And at that point, Dave wasn't in any band. So Dave agreed to get on the drums with us. And then so he joined, and we taught him all these older songs from Dream Warriors. And we started like trying to get into starting writing a new album. But then we went on tour, and then COVID happened. We were like 5 days into a 40-day tour in Chicago, and like, we had to call it because we didn't know anything about this COVID thing. But after Chicago, we started going to the West or Midwest, and then we were going to be in Mexico, and we just didn't want to get stuck. So going back to Pittsburgh, we did the COVID thing. And then, you know, when it was safe enough for us to get back together, we're like, all right, well, let's resume and start, you know, working on this new record, since, you know, we don't know how long it's going to be until, you know, we go on tour, till people can play shows. And at that point, it had been so long since Dream Warriors came out that we're like, all right, we owe it to ourselves and anybody else that, you know, gives a shit about our band, that we got to start writing something new. And around that time, too, I'd been keeping tabs on Ben, and he's still in Baltimore, but he basically was like, how's Varney doing? And I was like, oh, he's doing great. He's killing it. We're working on a new record. And Ben was like, how do I get my old job back? And like, why don't you just come up for a visit and bring your drums? So he came up here, and, you know, I already talked to everybody, and I was like, mostly for Dave Varney's sake, I was like, you know, what do you think about, you know, trying? Ben wants to kind of get back into the fold. And Dave was like, oh, yeah, let's just give it a whirl. Let's try two drummers, because Ben and Dave are personally like my two favorite drummers. Other than Tyler Coburn, but that's everybody's favorite drummer. and so we just set up, and we, like, me and Garrett had this maybe idea, like, before Ben got here, like, oh, what should we do? Should we, like, kind of just see how it goes? Like, should we jump into something, or kind of take it slow? And like, we set up, and I was like, let's do ETP, which is one of the songs off of Dream Warriors, and it's the shortest song, it's the easiest song. And we're all just set up, and it was like, let's just go into it and see what it ends. Like, within, like, the first, like, 10 seconds, Ben and Dave were playing, and I couldn't stop laughing. I think it's, like, all around. We're just like, this is going to work. So, yeah, I'm sorry. That was, like, kind of long-winded. But Ben moved up here, and we just started writing this record. And that was that 2021?
Yeah.
And then we just got to it, and it took us a while, but the process was way longer and more involved than we ever have. Like, usually before, we would write songs, record it, and go on tour. And that's all we would do. We just, like, let's just get something out, and we'll either release it ourselves, or, you know, we're lucky that friends who give a shit, their own labels, they were like, I'll put it out for you. And so we're lucky in that realm, in that aspect of it. And so we're, you know, constantly forever thankful for that, because, you know, we've just been a DIY band forever. So we just wrote, and we dissected things. Like, we thought we were done. We'd sit on it, we'd come back to it and be like, you know, what about this part? Let's take this part away, blah, blah, blah. It's a long thing. Started doing it, and then we were like, okay, I think we're almost done. These songs are all almost like 10 minutes long each. We're like, Jesus, you know, if we do a full length, it's going to be 5 songs. And so we were thinking about who should we, you know, get to engineer it. You know, I mean, Albini was definitely something like we on the list, because Albini fucking rules, and I would love to work with him. But, you know, like, Joe Reinhardt, our homie that recorded our self-titled, that he was in that band Hop Along and Algernon, he's in Philly, so that's, like, pretty close. Maybe we could do that. But I was like, our friends Moxie Beat, who are from Riverside, that we always go on tour with when we're on the West Coast, they just recorded with Nunez from Torch, and it sounds killer. And none of us have ever met John, and kind of a like shot in the dark. But I was like, you know, maybe we should get a hold of him and just see, like, he's in Miami, see what happens. And before anything had happened, I remember I was walking to work, and I was kind of like thinking about, like, trying to get his whole number and, like, maybe message him. He hit me up, like, randomly, and he was like, hey, you know, we have mutual friends, but we don't know each other. But he's like, I watched your Audio Tree session, and he's like, I'd love to work with you guys. I was like, dude, that is serendipitous.
Yeah, hell. Really.
I was like, we love the sound. That Torch record sounds so huge and amazing. And I was like, that's crazy. I'm like, yeah, dude, you were on the list, and, like, if you're down, we're down. And so, long story short, too, we just booked time with him. I booked a whole month tour, but 2 weeks down, 14 shows straight down to Miami, so we can get tour tight. And then we spent 8 days with him, and then, I mean, that's it. That rest is history, kind of thing. But the Torch, like, records, all, like I said, so thick and wonderful and glossy, and I think that would capture us really well. And John is a tone wizard. He's a wonderful person, and he's, like, just, he's easy to work with, you know, especially because none of us have ever met him before, and he was just welcoming, so we felt comfortable immediately. So that was cool.
I was just going to say, he was just such a nice guy. I just wanted to drive that point home. I mean, we still stay in contact with him. He's an incredibly supportive person. We think the world of John Nunez. Shout outs to you, John.
One of the greatest things is at the station, we have still part of our board is analog. So we have the needles. And at the end of Meanderthal, it's just like, it's just totally quiet, but the tones that are there make these needles go completely insane going there. So you're watching this thing, this, like, super quiet part, but on the board it's like losing its mind with what's going on. That's my favorite Torch song, mainly just for, you know, the craft of it, but also that end part that really takes it over the top. Do you think that he brought out more of the songs during the engineering process, or do you think that a lot of the songs kind of had their own kind of life to them, and he just, like, sprinkled a bit on them?
I would say I definitely, well, because, you know, he makes amplification and makes pedals. And so when we were there, John and Garrett and Dave were all able to, like, use his stuff and run through his stuff. So, like, he's responsible for a lot of the tonality that you hear, like, on the record. And I think he did an awesome job, like, really letting their parts sing. Because, I mean, I love the sound of the gear that all these dudes have, but, I mean, it's beat up, you know what I mean? And, like, it's now well-worn in, and it's, like, a sound, but he was able to, like, really just kind of coax just, like, a lot of underlying melodic elements that come out when it's got a nice, juicy tone. And we also used his drums, too. he had two drum sets there. And so he was really comfortable with the way that those drums sounded. So I felt like he could really kind of pull out the notes and make the parts pop, you know. And Ben and I recorded both the drums together, like side by side. So I think in the future, I would be interested if we would be able to do them in a separate room. I would love to like be able to pan them a bit more.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah, I think it would kind of come across pretty cool. That being said, I'm really happy with the way that they sound on the record, but there's a lot of stuff that like Ben does or I do that I would love to have it a little pried apart, but that says nothing of what John did. John killed it, but
yeah, he used like 21 mics for the drums.
Yeah, it was just, right?
Jesus.
It's crazy. Yeah, so yeah, he was very patient with us. And yeah, everything, his suggestions that he would like throw out there, they're all gold, you know, and because he's been engineering bands and sound for so long as it is. And if you, again, going back to, if you listen to Torch Records, it's like a very meticulous thing, but they sound, you know, they might be like completely fuzzed out, but it's like, it's clear, you know, you can tell what's going on. And hence why, you know, he has his hands also in making amps and pedals and the his wall of gear and his shelves of pedals that shows, you know. And so he would throw out some things that we, you know, we've all been in bands for a really long time, but what do we know about gear? I don't know. You know, we just know what we like to hear. And like, I think between the five of us, we collectively know a good bit about if the amp sounds shitty or what's going on with this. Like we can, you know, us like do like some damage control and assess a couple things. But when it comes to like going in the studio, we just bring our broken ish and we're like, let's see how this sounds, you know? So with John allowing us to use some of his stuff, you know, I used some of his cabs and an old SVT that he has and my rig. So we kind of blended all the Dave's guitars and Garrett's guitars and my bass through a lot of his stuff. But yeah, I mean, like it was grueling, to say the least. I mean, I think the first day, the first 2 days we were there, I think drums, was it like 18 hours of drums or so, 16 Jesus. Hours of drums? Something crazy.
It was such a long time. I mean, he was so patient. We did drums for 3 days. And yeah, because it, you know, it was tricky to pull off, but he was incredibly patient and encouraging, like all throughout it, because you'd do a thing and he'd be like, hey, how was that? And he'd be like, sounded good, but I think we could do a better one. Yeah. We're like, okay.
He's cheering you on. Yeah. Because, you know, this is a representation of him as well, you know?
Yeah.
And the fact that he was like, yeah, that's fine, let's go to the next one or something. He was just like pretty adamant about like, you can do it better. We can do it better. You can do it better. And like, sometimes you're doing takes a billion times, like Dave and Ben, all day for those first 3 days. They're just, oh my God. You could see them like kind of breaking down too. But in the end, you got John being a cheerleader and Dave and Ben were keeping each other afloat, because, you know, you get bummed out, you know, your music, you write it and then you're like, man, I suck at this. Why can't I do this? Like, you know, and you gotta kind of try to dig yourself into a hole, but it's good to have, you know, somebody on your side being hella positive and just be like, you can do this. I know you got this. And, you know, one of the things too, like at the end, John was like, you guys are the best, some of the best musicians I've ever recorded. Like, you guys came correct. You were prepared more than most bands. Like, I still can't believe that you guys tore down to me to do this. And so he was honored in itself too. And so like the feeling was mutual. And again, like we can't express how much we adore him and care for him and like thank you, like having him, like, you know, taking us into his arms and his like his wizardry, you know, is very, very cool. But it was grueling. I mean, the studios, we were there like what, 10 in the morning every day, 11 in the morning every day, and sometimes we're like there for 16 hours straight and just like doing it, you know. But this is, again, like we wanted to make a good record, and I believe that we did, you know.
Ben and I got a nice Peruvian ceviche dinner as soon as we were done with our drum tracks. we had a private drummer celebration. Yeah.